Excellent. It's good when people pray out the things that you wanted to say as well, in what you're talking about, so that's excellent. So today is the first Sunday of 2016. I think people have noticed that, haven't they? Yeah. So anyone made any New Year resolutions? None. Excellent. My next question was... What was that? Leave grumpy in the wardrobe in the morning. Very good, yeah. Excellent. Well, let's keep keeping that, shall we? Okay, today I want to look at three things, okay? First of all, and the most important one, is it's the importance of pleasing God, right? In this new year, it's the importance of pleasing God. And that actually is the most important one. And the second is a bit about sort of the vision for the church for this year and the major project we've got. And the third thing is just introducing the theme of what we're going to talk about in January and February this year. And in fact, as we go through them, they're all very much linked and they build on each other. So, and they also link to what we've been learning about the promises of God. Okay, it's important. Everything links together and what's been prayed this morning already. So, the importance of pleasing God. Right. Now, I'm not one for New Year resolutions. All right. But this year, I felt God was saying something, and it was something I had to concentrate on, and that was to please God, right? And I'm pretty sure we should be doing that as well, okay? Pleasing God can have a bit of baggage associated with it, okay? So it can sound like we have to do something to earn salvation, right? Or to be saved, to go to heaven. It can sound like pleasing God is the way to gain his love and approval, right? However, there are many verses in the Bible which talk of the importance of pleasing God, and we'll come on to why those other things aren't quite right. So, for example, in the Psalms, Psalm 19, it says this: "May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer." So the psalmist really, really wanted to please God. In the same way, in his first letter to the Thessalonians, Paul said this: "Brothers and sisters, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and we urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more." So Paul is urging his brothers and sisters in the church to please God more and more. And he knew this was very important. But we must also note that faith comes before pleasing God. In fact, it says in the letter to the Hebrews, Hebrews 11, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So faith is first. Otherwise, we cannot please God. And we know that through faith we are saved, not by our good actions. So, you remember this one, Ephesians 2, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." All right? So anything we do, in that sense, the good works, does not save us. God has done the work for us. How can this be possible? It's because of Jesus. And remember John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." So, what do we learn from that? God loved us first. And long before we ever did anything, he gave his only Son for us. That is the grace of God. That's what the grace of God is, unmerited favor. It means getting what we don't deserve. And when we say we want to please God, then it's not to earn a pass into heaven, right? It's not to get your ticket to heaven. That is not why we want to please God. Jesus himself pleased God. Listen to what happened when he was baptized by John. Do you remember this? The Holy Spirit came down as a dove, and a voice from heaven said, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Jesus hadn't even begun to do anything in his ministry at that point, okay? It was before he was teaching and healing. It's before he started annoying the Pharisees and telling parables and all those sort of things. But God loved him as his son. And that was the first thing he said. You are my son whom I love. And then he said he was pleased with him. In fact, Jesus had pleased his father by agreeing to put aside his glory to be sent into the world and born as a baby. And ultimately to die for us. Jesus had grown up in obedience and the knowledge of his father, and he continued to want to please him throughout his life on earth. And later on, Jesus said this in John 8, the one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. So Jesus always did what pleased his father. And for us, it's the same, isn't it? It's got to be the same. Remember, we too have been given the right to be called children of God. Remember that? John 1. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And if we receive Jesus as our Lord, if we believe in him, we are children of God by right. And then since our heavenly Father loves us, don't we want him to be pleased with us as well? So earthly parents, they usually love their children, don't they? Usually. I say usually because that's not always our experience, is it? But sometimes, so let's say they do love them, but sometimes they're not actually pleased with them, are they? You know, those of us with children, or have had children, right? Are we always pleased with our children? No. No, Joan's definitely not pleased. Do we always love them or try to love them? Yes, okay. So it's like this with God. He loves us very much. But sometimes I think he's not very pleased with us. Does that make sense? Okay. So how do we please God? So Paul writes about this in the letter to the Romans, Romans 12. Paul says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, that's what we've heard about, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. So again, we're encouraged to please God, and we read that our bodies need to be a living sacrifice to God. What does that mean? What does that mean? It means simply that all we do or say or think needs to be submitted to God. All we do or say or think needs to be submitted to God. It's as simple as that, right? Okay, that's it. That's our living sacrifice. It's simple, but it's everything, right? And that is proper worship. We're not worship is, it's not singing songs, it's not coming together, and it's not eating, it's not, right? Worship is much, much deeper than that. They can be expressions, but it's our whole life should be worship. Our bodies, a living sacrifice. Holy and pleasing to God. That's what pleases him. So when we do that, our lives worship God, express his worth, they reflect his glory and demonstrate his love. It's not a Sunday issue. It's a whole of life issue, isn't it? So what are the alternatives? If we don't please God, what are the alternatives? Well, I think we will inevitably be doing one of two other things, or perhaps two other things. And one is pleasing other people, or pleasing ourselves. All right? I think that's the choice. It's misery in both. I think when we live our lives, we will either try to please God, or please other people, or please ourselves. You know? And it may be probably unconscious, trying to, you know, please other people. We'll do it. I know I do it. And it's being a big challenge. Okay. Are we going to be people pleasers or self-centered pleasers of ourselves? Do I want to be a people pleaser? Do I just want to please myself? Those are the questions. Or do I want to please God first and foremost? That is that today, start 2016, that is the question for us. And it is the big question, right? We often have mixed motives, obviously, in all of these. But this is a time when we can make a new start. Listen to what Paul says in Romans 12. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So let's not think as the world does. Let's be transformed, and then we will know what God wants us to do. Note this, right? That what he wants, his will, is also good and pleasing as well as perfect. When we are living for God to please him, he will not disappoint us. Right? So when Jesus said that we've read, the one who sent me is with me, he's not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him, he knew the presence of his Father with him all the time because he always did his Father's will. That's the implication there. Because he was pleasing his Father. Now for us, Jesus promised to be with us always, right? All the days. You remember that? That's one of the promises of God. Until the end of the age. That's a promise that will not change. So we know he won't leave us. But we can feel distant from God, can't we, sometimes? Hands up anybody who's felt distant from God. Right, okay? It's like, that's what happens, isn't it? Sometimes, or often, I don't know. Maybe it's because we're not pleasing him in what we do. We're not living for him. Maybe we're giving him grief. Ephesians 4 says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Well, what does that mean? Well, give him grief. Do our children give us grief sometimes? Yeah. That's what we do to God. Amazingly, we can grieve him. And if you note, the only time that Jesus ever felt forsaken and abandoned by God, when was that? That was when the sin of the world was put upon him on a cross. When he voluntarily took the weight of all that evil and its consequences, it blotted out that relationship with his Father. That's what happened. Thankfully, that was temporary, and he was raised again to life, having overcome that worst of separations. When we don't leave to please God, sin gets in the way. It's inevitable. It's absolutely inevitable. He's not pleased with this. God is not pleased when sin gets in the way, but still loves us as a good parent, and he'll always do so. He will always receive us back like the prodigal father and the prodigal son. But sin does cause temporary separation. Would we agree with that? Okay. I don't want to feel separated from God. Do you? No. Do we want to please God first and foremost? Let's say yes, shall we? Let's say yes this year, right? Let's not live to please other people or ourselves. In everything we do, it is worth reflecting on why we're doing it, right? I'm going a bit off the page here, but it really is important, because if we're doing things, even unconsciously, to please people or to look good or to please ourselves, it's going to bring disappointment and discouragement. It's going to bring separation from God. We're not going to have the best from God, because we can't receive that, because the sin's got in the way. Everything we do, all that we need to think, why am I doing this, why am I saying that, what's our motive, do I want to please God in it? Okay. In fact, the more we please God, the more we live life to the full. You know that? Jesus said he had come to give us life in all its fullness, but we have to live for him first. And the thing is, if we are pleasing God first, then we will love and serve other people a lot better. You know, that is the truth of it. We might think we're serving people and loving them by trying to please them, but actually, if we please God first, we're going to do that a whole lot better. Because what we think pleases people, maybe, or what they want, isn't actually maybe what God wants to show them or speak to them or want them to feel. All right, or even us, or us as well. So, if we try to please ourselves, that often isn't what God wants us to have. He wants us to have life to the full, but life that comes from him. So this year, for us, we are the church, obviously, so for a church, this underpins what I would be trying to keep in the forefront, and that's to please God this year. Everything we do needs to be measured against that. So what about the year ahead for the church? Well, last year we had, correct me if I'm wrong, we had two marriages, a death, a birth, very significant illnesses, and all sorts of other bits and pieces, didn't we? You know, and we're not that big. but we're together. And next year, it would be a brave person to predict any of what will happen next year. Could be anything. There'll be no predictions today of next year, all right? Okay. However, I believe that this next year, and as we've already heard, we've got a great opportunity to build on foundations that have been laid. Or to put it in Kingdom of God terms, work with Jesus as he builds his church to reflect his character. Do you remember that's one of his other promises? Jesus said, I will build my church and death will not prevail against it. All right? That's another promise of God. And Jesus is going to build his church to reflect his character more and more. We are the plan, guys. And more will come, and we're going to pray for more people to come. We're going to pray to be increased in numbers and in depth. But the first thing to do is to please God, isn't it? It's not to try and win a popularity contest in the village or in this down valley area or wherever, right? It's not try to build ourselves up. It's to please God first, right? And remember, we started with a motto, love God, love each other, serve the community. Remember, these aren't mutually exclusive. So, it's, you know, we can say, well, we love God. Well, that's all right. We've done one out of three. We love each other, want to serve the community. All right. Three-legged stool. Exactly. And they're not mutually exclusive. They're not in a set order in which to do things. They stand together as your three-legged stool. They stand together as the expression of what Jesus has told his disciples to do. And that's us, his disciples. So, as we've been saying, we're going to take the community serving part into a new phase, right? And it's a development and expansion of the Thursday drop-in here at the hall. And you could say it's going to become a drop-out as well. That's supposed to be funny, okay? So we're having a drop-in and we're going to have a drop-out. Right, okay, never mind. It's because we're going to become more outward-looking, right? Okay. It's going to develop into a hub where people in the communities around this area can find practical help, support, and love from the church. And then this will then go out and happen in the community as well, all right? And remember, we are doing this to please God first and foremost. And this is what Paul wrote in Hebrews to remind us, Hebrews 13. He said this, and do not forget to do good and to share with others. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased. All right? There's nothing new under the sun, but it needs reiterating, you know? Do not forget to do good and share with others. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased. And I do believe God has been pleased with us over the years for the things that we've done, you know, as a church. And known and unknown, okay? And I think God is pleased with that. And that's great. And people have been blessed by that. Ephesians 2 says this, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So there are things for us to do, and he's created those things in advance. So this is exactly what we're proposing to do. We've been gathering offers of help and skills and time for us in the church to collate into an organized offer that can help people's needs in the community around us. And just as we come from different locations, many different locations, this help will be for anyone who asks that we can reasonably reach in this part of Northumberland. Okay? So this offer is going to be publicised, and then requests for help will be coordinated and allocated and then actioned. There will be teething problems and things we haven't thought of, right? But it's the right thing to do. It pleases God because of the scriptures we've just read. And he wants to do good works. He wants us to bless people. He wants us to give, to sacrifice. And it's not primarily an advert for the church, right? We must remember that. It isn't primarily an advert for the church. but hopefully we'll become known for actually serving the community. People will want to know why we're doing it. So that's an opportunity to be salt and light in our communities and to be the good news to the people and to reflect God and to be the gospel to people. Somebody was saying the other day, it's down, but somebody was saying that actually the days of people just coming on a Sunday morning, they're sort of dwindling away really in terms of church and things. People aren't used to that anymore. So getting out into the community, it's got to be the way. It's got to be the way. So, the third thing is we do this as a church together. All right. So we will continue to love God, love each other, and serve the community. And God has put us together as a church to do it. And Joan would like to say something.
Yeah, just before you go on, the next bit, if I haven't forgotten it, what you were saying before about going out into the community rather than waiting for people to come here. We don't read much about Jesus converting people in the synagogue. He went out to where people were, didn't he? And that's where he did his work.
Yep.
Not in the synagogue, very rarely.
Yeah, very good. I think, you know, he went around preaching the gospel. He went around serving people, healing them. Okay, and then later the apostles planted churches to do the same thing. They would do the same thing.
Yeah, just thinking about that as well. It wasn't just the one location, was it?
Yeah, that's right.
He travelled around.
Travelled around. Yeah, and the apostles travelled around. They didn't stop in one place and say, that's it, we'll just get everybody here. They travelled around and new churches. I've been reading, I got a book for Christmas. I got a book for Christmas from my mother. Now, it's not that often. I'm very grateful to my mum for sending me a really nice present this year. Right? And it's called the King of the North, and it's about the Northumbrian King Oswald, right, in the 600s. Amazing time, right? Absolutely amazing. There's Christian missionaries coming from all over the place. There were people being converted left, right, and centre. People going really out on a limb to really take the message of the gospel to various bits of this country and, you know, Scotland and Ireland, and coming from there to... It's an amazing thing. People risk life and limb to bring the gospel, to bring Christianity, you know, and that's what they did. And it just inspired me. And they did that. And what they thought they would do, you know, they might not have thought much happened at the time, but actually they left a legacy. They left monasteries and the church grew and all sorts of things happened because of what they did. And because they felt they were obedient to God. They wanted to please him. So they did that. There were other mixed reasons as well they went out. But actually, that, you know, that served what God's purpose is. And I just feel that we're part of that tradition. We're just part of that going out. So that's what we're going to do. I'm not saying we're not meeting here on Sunday, mind. Okay, because we need to meet together. The Bible also says, do not neglect meeting together as some have, because the strength is also meeting, not just on Sunday, but also other times, obviously. Okay, so on Tuesday, we're going to have a prayer meeting at, hopefully at Sheila's, but we're going to have breaking of bread then as well. We're going to break bread together at Sheila's, partly because she doesn't get out very much, so we're going to take it to her. But everybody obviously is welcome. It's on the sheet. So, you know, who knows what else we'll be doing to get out in the community this year or next year. So, whatever we do, A, we're going to do it to please God, right? But B, we're going to do it as a church together, right? We need to be together in it, okay? It's not for just one or two people. It's for everyone can help. And if even just praying or doing something, or it's all of us are, as a body, are involved in one way or another. Okay. So, to help us over the next few weeks to understand more about that, we're going to talk a bit about more about the church, what the Bible says about the church, the way it's described, the way it's designed. What does it mean? It's the bride of Christ. You know, what does that mean? Why is that important? You know, all sorts of things like that, you know. There's things relating to how does the church relate to Israel and the Jews. We need to talk about that, you know. Then there are all sorts of other things which can be a bit contentious and have aroused controversy. But we're going to discuss them. We're going to talk about them. That's good, isn't it? I'm looking forward to that. All right, okay. And we're going to learn together. That means Dave's going to teach us. But he's not here. But no, we're going to learn together. We're going to look at in a bit more depth about that. Why the church is God's plan for the world. Why is it so important? Right? Why does Jesus love the church so much? Find out. So, those are sort of themes, the biggest one being let's decide to please God first in our lives, and that will translate to the church, and we're going to learn more about the church, we're going to learn more about serving the community, and God will do what he will do, and he says he will build his church, or he's going to build it, so which is great. So that's a challenge for us now, right, beginning of 2016. So I wonder if we could sort of like close our eyes and just contemplate. Let's think about what we've heard. So when you've been listening, it may be that you've been thinking, I've never committed myself to Jesus and given my life to God. Or it may be that you have done. You have done that, but really, you want to commit yourself to pleasing God first from now on. And this now is the time to make a new start. This is the opportunity. As we're quiet and prayerful, come to God as you are. Let's admit we haven't lived fully for him, and that we want to from now on. Let's receive the forgiveness that he freely gives. Let's believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And let's decide to live for him and to follow him. And let's decide that pleasing God is what we want to do most.